Thanks, Jean-Marie, for this warm introduction. So the purpose of my talk will be to talk about safety issues pertaining to rechargeable lithium batteries, and more especially review current knowledge from literature review, our own testing and abuse testing I've heard about, and also trying to identify perceived remaining research topics. So this is the outline of my presentation. We'll start by a few words of introduction, placing what we are doing in the field. As you all know, lithium-ion technologies have initiated a technical revolution, and we are certainly living a new one with the coming of electromobility. What is also known is that the design criteria for batteries are most always the same. We are talking about energy density, safety, lifespan, cost, power. But the priorities are probably a little bit different depending on the markets we are focusing on. But for sure, with the electromobility, the need to promote safety of the paramount criteria is certainly important. And so that's why moving towards safer lithium-based energy storage system for electromobility is so important and a desirable requirement according to a number of well-visible indicators by now, such as the sharp increase in embarked energy versus portable consumer market, and also from first lessons from incidents that have taken place on the full value chain of lithium-ion batteries so far on existing markets. Also due to position expressed about safety issues by many stakeholders and also in economic studies, and also through information provided by the concerned scientific communities, and we are here to talk about that, and from various technical committees such as SAE, NFPA, ISO committees, United Nations subcommittee of experts on the transport of dangerous goods. And we have also heard about the programs dedicated to safety in recent conferences. There is one that will take place in 2 days in Las Vegas. I've just read the summaries of some of the speakers. One is mentioning that we probably need to get down the failure rates of our lithium-ion cells from one order of magnitude for the electromobility domain applications. So that's a strategy that needs to be maintained on the medium-long term, as electromobility is an emerging market, and we need greener transport. It's a social expectation at the worldwide level, and greener transport means also safer transport. This is, for example, something we picked up from an economic study, which is indicating that, to their view, safety issues might stay as an important market restraint for a number of years. So this was a position taken in September 2009. So they consider it still an issue by now. And having said that, what are the INERIS commitments for better battery safety in that respect? I would first say that we have a long-term involvement on those topics, on all types of battery systems. So it's not only for a recent time that we have decided to focus on that, but naturally, in recent past, we essentially focused on lithium-ion type rechargeable cells and batteries. That's the result of the key interest of France for electromobility deployment and also key networking activities with some major partners we have. And the work is dividing into all types of core activities we have within the INERIS duties. I mean technical support to the ministries, I mean commercial services to the industry concerned, and also mean research. And it's covering the full value chain for design stage to recycling or second life issues. And we have some related activity indicators that are increase of the unit task force at INERIS, implementation of new testing equipment like the STEEV facility on which I will come back, the intensification of abuse testing for industrial partners, including full-scale burning of cars for a recent past, and also promotion of collaborative research at EU level. We also contribute in standardization activities as well as to voluntary certification schemes development. And we also try to communicate and provide papers in the field. So this is a view of the type of equipment we have at our disposal or we can offer to the industry to promote safer batteries. On the left-hand bottom left-hand side as what I call the Turison equipment. It's a 5 calorimeter, which is quite interesting for scientific purposes, as it allow you to get the heat release rates and also the toxic loads at the component level, up to a cell level. Then we have there our fire gallery, in which we can burn cars, for instance. This is another multi-purpose system we have on an open site. If we fear explosion phenomena, for instance, before we can put the test object in the fire gallery. And then below, we have examples of equipment that are fully dedicated to battery testing, which are included in our Steve safety platform we have implemented with a number of key partners like UPGV or EDF. Let's now come back to hazardous phenomena. We have to qualify with lithium ion technologies versus applications and scenario of interest. You have already heard a lot on that, so I will be very brief. We may have explosion, venting, possibly under significant pressure, release of hazardous materials through venting or leakage. Fire, and I will certainly concentrate a little bit on fire, an intentional electrical discharge in terms of risk management it's important in the context of electromobility because we have several hundreds of voltage possible under the boot, but also due to internal short phenomena that we may fear and we have to fight again, in particular in when we try to charge the batteries in cold weather or during fast charging issues. So this is a well-known scheme describing how we may have a fire. We need initiating heat, we need fuels, we need oxidizers, and we need chemical reaction chains to entertain a fire. So these are describing where we have combustible. Part of the oxygen is, as been said previously, inside cathode material, but we need extra air to go to full combustion, as it has been said by my predecessor. The heat is a little bit special in the case of battery because internal potential heat is there for triggering a fire event, and this is the well-known thermal runaway reaction we have already talked about. In terms of fire safety improvement, we need to have a look on where are the potential energy releases. So we have the electrical part of it. We have the electrolyte, which is not only flammable, but which is providing a good part of the energy load potential in there. But we need not to neglect also the polymer side of it. That's something we have seen from testing in collaboration with EPGV on the matter, on pouch cell in particular. So let's go on in more detail on the thermal threat pattern with rechargeable lithium-based battery. The first thing I would like to state is that we have not absolutely intrinsically safe materials to get rid of the threat, although some cathodic materials are better than others and more stable. When you're looking at the complete stuff, you're always going to that direction. So safety means a systematic approach or a global safety concept. The global overall embarked energy in the battery, I mean the useful one and the useless one, the one you do not want to use but that would be liberated in case of a fire event, is close finally to the fuel tank situation in conventional cars. It's a little bit lower, but with the increase of energy density and the desire to go to more autonomy, it will be very soon comparable, I think. The difference is within the kinetics of the potential heat release that may be quicker due to the thermal runaway process. But on the other hand, we have a number of multi-barrier mechanical barrier acting that will impede that heat to get released so easily, and which will certainly apply in a positive way. It has to be further assessed, but that's the first statement we can do from our first testing. So another very important conclusion so far we can say is first large-scale testing seemed to eliminate physical explosion or missile effects due to external fire scenarios in the context of automotive applications. It's quite good news. By contrast, late inflammation of gases evacuated through venting is a potential event, so we have to take, take care of that. And the state of charge does not seem to influence overall energy liberated significantly at level of one cell. This is this was obtained in the framework of a thesis work performed by Perrine Ribière quite recently, and as measured by the fire calorimeter I've shown you previously through mass loss observation. And the last statement would be that the effect of design is likely to influence sharply the kinetics of release. Let's go now to the chemical or toxic threats with a number of general issues. This is a quite complex problem due partly by the complexity of the chemistry involved in lithium secondary cells as compared to conventional fuels, but also due simply to the fact that smoke toxicity is a very complex issue. You may have in particular synergistic effects of the fire plume components between each other. The battery is an atypical burning object as compared to cellulosic, plastics, or hydrocarbons as fuel material. Even the more advanced fire toxicity evaluation models is a little bit difficult to use to treat scenarios involving batteries. And more essentially, I would say, data available in terms of yield of toxic components is still very limited versus the number of options we have to build in a battery for electromobility applications. And the last, but not the least, is that the analysis of the toxicity impact on exposed people is typically scenario and tunability criteria dependent. If you're taking different scenarios, you may go to different conclusions. If you do not take the same tunability criteria, you will also go to different conclusions. Let's go more into deeper detail, and in particular, talking about the HF issue. As you know, we have a specific problem with the fact that a number of materials inside our lithium-based battery are containing fluorine. And fluorine is leading to relatively toxic components like hydrofluoric acid, but there might be some others. It's present in two main sources. At first in the binder at the positive electrode in most cases, at least in the lithium ion technology, through the PVDF use. And it's also present in a mineral way in the lithium salt electrolyte. That's most often the lithium hexafluorophosphate, which is chosen for the lithium ion tech, and then sometimes it's LeTFSE for the lithium metal polymer. Potentially, there are also other minor sources. We have heard about potential flame retardant containing fluorine by the predecessing talk. There might be also other solvent additives and advanced cathodic materials as well. So with respect to fire safety, the presence of the fluorine element may often have positive effects in terms of improved thermal stability and resistance to ignition. That's important to see as well. But the reverse side of this is that the toxicity of the related released products, which are also containing fluorine, like HF, is important, and this is whatever the thermal degradation conditions. So we have started to learn in more deeper on that issue, making use of our QRSIN equipment, which is by now recognized as an ISO standard, presenting recognized capability in measuring toxic yields in fire conditions. First to say that there's a general trend with halogenated hydrocarbons to release corresponding hydrogen halide as a major toxic compound, nearly in stoichiometric conditions for HCl. There are some tangible indications that's also the rule which is applying with fluorinated hydrocarbons, but with fluorine-containing salts, I would say that the science community has no data so far on that. So that was one thing we tried to investigate. And I should now by now speak about evidence of HF emissions from a joint work we've performed recently. As I mentioned previously, there's a trend to stoichiometric release of HF or fluorohydrocarbons where the ratio, the molar ratio hydrogen to fluorine is above one. That's typically one for PVDF. It's above one for fluorotoluene, and then we have tested fluorotoluene, which is a liquid in our apparatus, and lead to the conclusion that we have released HF in stoichiometric conversion yield as compared to the availability of fluorine in that molecule. But much more interesting is that at the component level, we're testing an electrolyte typical from batteries, 1 molar lithium hexafluorophosphate in a mixture of organic carbonates. We got 98% of conversion of the fluorine content into HF. But good news, once you try to get the same information at the level of the cell, that amount of conversion fall to 30% for a number of cases. We have tested at least three different technologies, small cells, not necessarily cells completely looking like those we will have in the electromobility. But the good news is that we have some rebatement of the level of HF once physical barriers are acting. So to resume that, what can we say today about the toxicity issues in relation with HF or other fluorine toxic emissions in the context of electromobility? F-containing materials proven to emit HF in significant quantities at level of both major sources at component level. So trying to reduce those components having fluorine is a good possibility, an interesting possibility. Significant emissions at level of small cells also verified for three technologies at least, parched cell, 18650 type cells, cylindrical ones, and also one including lithium iron phosphate electrodes, so about one third of the potential fluorine liberated as HF. Once you integrate those fluorine emitter components in an enclosure, like a cell enclosure, it's proven to contribute to HF trapping at source level. But of course, overall toxicity impact scenario is scenario dependent due to dispersion phenomena in the environment and condition of exposure, and also to the fact that HF is likely to absorb on any type of material. But still to be learned or cleared out are the following questions. How do we in practice the overall yield of HF compared to overall potential of toxic emissions? I've spoken about a few results, but we cannot so far generalize to scaling laws. How far does HF emission alone build the overall toxicity profile is another question. One of my preceding speaker mentioned that in cars we have plenty of other things burning that may also have a significant contributions to the overall toxicity. So we need to evaluate those scenarios by comparison with conventional cars. Same question for CFR scenario in storages. How far the HF is, let's say, dominating the toxicity issue is the same question. And is there an issue from degassing, from venting a battery without a fire scenario associated is another issue. So globally, taking the experience of all that abuse testing and the learnings we may have from scientific literature, in my view, as compared to the other parameters we have to take account in developing or in designing batteries, for the safety consideration, the first important parameter is the design of the battery, much before the choice of the materials. Even if you can do improvement at the material sites, the design of the cell, the design of the modules, the packs, and the way you are placing the battery in the EV is much more important to get the overall safety level we need. And so organizational issues like the systemic approach you're performing, the optional testing or third-party evaluation, the analysis, the careful analysis of state of health of the battery, the safety monitoring, integrating aging issues, the functional safety analysis of the system, and scenario targeted risk analysis are the kind of organizational things that you can implement to globally reach the desirable safety level. We have done a number of research projects at the Institute to try to provide a number of information to fill in the gaps I've already mentioned. I will skip that. And I would like to finish by indicating what I've picked up in the literature in terms of research or action plans that are needed or perceived to be needed From the activity I've seen in the US or in Japan or in other European countries, in particular from Japan, I have listed that better abuse test procedure to simulate internal short effects inside certain abuse mechanical condition is needed, and also to, let's say, fully qualify what was mentioned by my predecessor as spontaneous internal shorts. Development of safer anode and cathode materials, going to safer, let's say less flammable, less combustible electrolytes and other material to replace organic carbamide mixtures. From the US side, development of safer containers to transport battery pack as cargoes in cargo aircrafts. Development of pertinent multiphysics modeling tools to help safer design of battery packs. Implementation of training programs for all types of emergency services needed. We need to have in mind that we have to cover the full value chain of our batteries for the electromobility. Fire suppression and fire protection issues in warehouses or in waste facilities is also an issue on which we have very few information to so far. And more intelligent routines for monitoring state of health of batteries is possibly a good thing to investigate. As far as I've seen from a recent research project that has started beginning of this year through the auspices of the Fire Protection Research Foundation, which is the research subsidiary of the NFPA, National Fire Protection Association in the US, they have performed a first hazard statement of lithium-ion batteries. In the first term of 2011, I was one of the panelists of that work. The research was provided by the well-known established exponent, and the report was made available in summer this year. It's available on the website. And from that work, the research to be implemented, and that will be supported by FPRF in soon future, is to cover the following gaps of knowledge, limited understanding of the composition, including toxic and the flammability of leaked cell electrolyte and solvent gases, the lack of fire protection commodity specification for bulk packaged lithium-ion battery packs, how to protect warehouses will depend on that specification, and the limited data regarding the effectiveness of potential suppressants, specifically water in the different scenarios of interest. Not only to extinguish an EV cars, we also need to have the appropriate procedure to intervene on all types of undesirable scenarios we may have to fear. And so I'm coming to my conclusive comments, starting by saying that examination of safety issues on the full value chain of battery based on lithium-based system is justified and favorable to accompany the promotion of electromobility as needed. The knowledge is progressing. However, there are remaining gaps, not only identified by us, but also by many stakeholders. So there is a justification for our prolonged research effort, in particular to secure large-scale storage of batteries at manufacturing or recycling plant. We still have some time to do that, but it's time to think about it. Going to less combustible, not only flammable electrolytes or other combustible components. Considering thermit reactions potential, somebody has briefly talked about that mechanistic reaction potential. Also, take lessons from return from early experience of captive EV fleets, which is quite desirable in addition to safety-oriented R&D work and action plans. We are trying to contribute to that R&D efforts. As an indicator of that, we have recently written a strategic research agenda, battery safety focused, for a 5-year period, and nationally priorities will be given according to opportunities we have to collaborate with academic or industrial partners interested in that. I would like to conclude by a quite, let's say, positive thinking. My consideration is that recent collective involvement into learning on safety issues by all promoters and stakeholders of electromobility is going by now in the right direction, and I'm sure that the electromobility will have a brilliant future. Thank you much.
Thank you.